Greetings, goofballs. I am Kaylee.
I'm Mara.
And this is Irregular Information,
a podcast about everything and nothing at all.
Less depressing than the news.
And we might even help you in bar trivia.
We've thought of hundreds of topics that we're dying to know more about.
Each week we draw a topic at random from the jar.
And then we pick a lane and deep dive.
Neither of us knows what the other's chosen to research.
So we're all on this journey together.
Today's topic is
secret sperm donors. Womp, womp,
womp. Yeah, you've put this one in the jar.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, totally. Because it's not something that I like think about.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I could tell you did.
Oh, yeah.
But when we drew it, you were like, oh, I mean, the most eager. So
yeah. Oh boy, do I have a topic for you.
Yeah.
It's one that I immediately thought of and like, honestly, why I put it in the jar. But also there's clearly 1,000 routes that you could go down.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and give you my sources first, because it won't bury the lead.
Okay.
Okay. So one of my main sources is going to be the Race to 35 podcast, episode number 4. And it's a podcast about fertility and egg retrieval,
okay,
specifically. And then there's the NewZealandHerald.co.nz and the WarHorse.org.
Okay.
Okay. In modern times, the topic of fertility isn't as taboo as it once was. We live in a day and age where medically assisted reproduction is something that people can openly speak about, mm-hmm, even if they choose not to. There are so many different ways to create a pregnancy, regardless of if the infertility stems from the non-uterus bearing partner or the uterus bearing partner, or if the couple has the same reproductive parts. Fertility medical practices were not always what they are now, though. The journey of getting to where we are now was filled with trial and error and has created generations of pregnancies that were conceived in what we now deem as unconventional practices. One such practice that was common from the 1950s to the 1970s is something known as a fertility cocktail.
What?
Before diving into the... Precisely.
Okay.
Okay, so before diving into the fascinating history of a specific style of artificial insemination in humans, I want to talk a little bit about not only infertility, but also a variety of reasons why an individual or couple would choose to use a sperm donor.
Right.
While most of these reasons are applicable to the use of donor eggs as well, the specific method that I'm going to be covering today regards the use of donor sperm. So everything that I'll be mentioning, we're speaking about sperm,
right?
Like the sperm creating partner.
Sure.
And with the time frame, we can safely assume that we're talking about what was then deemed to be like quote unquote men, right?
Right. Okay.
Okay. It is relevant today, and it was relevant in the time frame that I'm going to be speaking about. While some reasons are obvious answers to the question of using donor sperm or eggs, there are also others that may be less obvious. The first reason is, of course, infertility. The time frame in question is following the Second World War, which is important. Many veterans struggle with the side effect of infertility after serving in active combat.
Mm.
Some of these reasons are exposure to toxins and hazardous materials. Agent Orange is a commonly known biohazard that caused a wide variety of medical conditions in veterans that was used during the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did Agent Orange cause cancer, Parkinson's disease, diabetes, hypertension, Hodgkin's disease in veterans, it was also known to cause many different medical conditions and birth disorders in their children conceived after the war as well. Prescriptions and medications required after service for physical or psychiatric conditions are also known to potentially impact fertility. Injuries sustained during combat, especially traumatic injuries, like physically traumatic injuries, can impact fertility. Radiation exposure and spinal injuries can affect not only fertility, but the ability to actually like have an erection and
maintain
an erection.
Yeah.
Which of course is going to impact the ability to create a pregnancy.
Yep.
These are just a few reasons for infertility in veterans, which is important for the referenced time frame as it begins on the tail end of World War II and continues through pretty much all of the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Another reason for using donor sperm is going to be hereditary diseases. If hereditary disease runs in the sperm-bearing partner's family, donor sperm may be a consideration. Few examples of such hereditary diseases would be cystic fibrosis, hemophilia, Huntington's disease, muscular dystrophy, and sickle cell anemia.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that it was important to give a distinction with the time frame in regards to sickle cell anemia, because a lot of people really just are so uneducated on this diagnosis.
Yeah.
So
I don't really know much about it.
In present day, the life expectancy of a person who has sickle cell anemia and is born with sickle cell anemia is 54.
Okay.
Which is a good time frame, right?
Yeah.
Present day treatment options with sickle cell anemia have greatly expanded from the time frame that the fertility cocktail that I'm going to be speaking of was used. The life expectancy during the time frame that I'm speaking of today was 14 years or less.
Oh my gosh.
So even though it wasn't like that long ago, that's a huge difference in life expectancy. And during that short life, the shape of the red – so basically with sickle cell anemia, the shape of the red blood cells, instead of being a circle, is like a crescent shape or like a sickle shape.
Yep.
So that's like the whole thing with it. They create blockages because of the shapes. Like they can hook onto each other and they create blockages throughout the body that are extremely painful.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They cause swelling. Anyone who has sickle cell anemia will be a lifelong anemic person and then eventually can lead to vital organ damage. Mm. So because of the way that medicine was from the 1950s to the 1970s and because sickle cell anemia primarily affects the African-American community, you can imagine that one, not much medical like headway was being made on it during that time frame. Yeah. Like even more openly racist than things are in present day.
Yeah.
And two, medicine just looked different then.
Yeah.
So during that time frame, that would be something that would be a consideration for possibly using a sperm donor. Mm-hmm. And I don't just want to glaze over and be like, oh, sickle cell anemia would be a reason. It's not necessarily a reason anymore. Right.
Right.
But during the time frame in question, this is something that was a very serious medical condition, more so than it is now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
So now let's rewind time to the 1950s, and we're going to talk about what the science in treating sterility in men specifically looked like. And again, I'm using the word men in the anatomical version simply because we're talking about the 1950s. Transgender people did not have transgender rights then.
Right.
So when I'm using the word men, I mean male anatomy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it to be exclusive, but like time frame in question, we're just going to use the word as like an umbrella term, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So during this time frame, IVF was in experimental phases in animals.
Oh.
So it was still a very far cry away from an option.
Okay. Yeah.
When couples would come in experiencing infertility, fertility cocktails were a common treatment method. Doctors would choose a donor with the same eye color as dad and oftentimes the same blood type as dad, but at least as one of the parents. And the donor was commonly a medical student or male nurse, as the doctors thought that this could provide, quote, good genetic material by way of intelligence.
Okay.
Yeah. The donor would then be called to donate. Their identity was completely anonymous to the parents. The donor sperm would then be mixed with the father's sperm, and then the mother would be inseminated with it. The thought was that the donor sperm would help to, quote, boost the father's sperm. So let's break this down a little bit because there's a lot to unpack here.
No clue. Fucking idiots.
No idea. So there's a lot to unpack here. Obviously, we know that's not quite how the science works. Right?
Oh my God.
Essentially, what was being done was replacing a portion of the sperm trying to fertilize the egg with viable sperm.
Yeah.
Right? Many hospitals would have go-to donors who already had a healthy child or children of their own, had successfully boosted many couples' sperms, and resulted in pregnancy with healthy babies born. The mixing of sperm along with the eye color and blood type matching allowed the fathers to have a mentality of the possibility of biological connections to their children, which like...
Yes and no.
Yeah. Like psychologically speaking, like obviously if it wasn't working, it wasn't working. Yeah. Right. But also if the sperm is being injected in a different way than it was before, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it gives plausible deniability to the parents. And also pretty much every couple who received this treatment along with the donors were told to never speak about it again, including to the future children. They were like, okay, we boosted the sperm. We gave it a better chance for a viable pregnancy. Just pretend it never happened and go on with your life. You're going to have a baby. And like that was that, which like given the time frame, things are much more secretive and like not as openly discussed. So
well, and that is just fucking problematic.
Yeah. Well, like we're going to talk about that.
Wow.
So as far as anyone in the world was concerned, these couples just eventually got pregnant after trying and had children.
Okay.
So you can imagine a little bit where this is going and how all of these children have found out.
Yeah.
So on an episode of Race to 35, which is a special armchair expert branch off miniseries surrounding fertility, specifically egg retrieval, a friend of the host recounts her experience as the child of one such couple who received a fertility cocktail.
Okay.
So she was gifted a DNA kit in her adulthood, and upon taking it, had the option of, like, expanding family tree. Have you ever done one before?
I never turned it in, but I need to do one.
Okay. So I've done mine, but with the DNA kits, you have the option to see your family tree. It doesn't automatically just show you everyone that you're blood related to.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to, like, click the button. But it's, like, the next step, right? It's like, oh, here's your breakdown. Do you want to see your family tree? And it's like, sure, let's see who else in my family's done it. Whatever.
Yeah.
So she did that, and she saw a bunch of names that she had never even heard before.
Okay.
She had a slew of half-siblings pop up. And even though she only had her siblings that, like, her parents had raised together.
Yeah.
And then her parents had had, had had children from previous marriages.
Sure.
But, like, she knew all of her siblings.
Yeah.
This wasn't them that were popping up. So upon learning this information, she chalked it up to it being a defective test until these half-siblings started trying to connect with her.
Oh.
So eventually, one half-sibling did connect with her on social media and relayed the information that she, the half-sibling, was conceived via fertility cocktail donation. And she thought that the guest of this episode in question might have been conceived through the same donor.
Mm.
The episode guest, who went by the name B, for anonymity, called her mother to question exactly how she was conceived. She knew that her parents had a difficult time conceiving her. They were very open about that. Like, we wanted you guys so badly. It took us a long time to conceive you. It's why there's, like, such an age gap, everything else. And her mother had, like, relayed that experience to her. So B asked her mother not to tell her father what she had discovered, because he was the man who raised her, and that's her father, regardless of genetics.
Yeah.
To this day, he actually still doesn't know, which is why she went by the alias on that episode.
Oh, okay.
But she called her mom and was like, well, what the fuck is this? And her mom was like, oh, well, now that you mention it, your father had a sperm boosted. And she's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
And then, like, kind of explained the practice.
Okay.
Yep.
In today times, if someone was like, I got my sperm boosted, I'd be like, well, that's not how that happens.
No. Like, in my brain, if somebody said that, I would be like, oh, they took it to a lab and spun it around and put some chemicals in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't think that.
My thoughts don't go to, I put my sperm in your sperm and now it moves faster.
Correct. Correct. So the donor that was used to, quote, boost her father's semen was someone who worked in the hospital and said that he was called to donate roughly 2 times per week for 4 years.
Whoa.
That's like over 200 donations.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So she was raised with half-siblings that her father had had from a previous marriage where there was no assistance of boosting the sperm. And then half-siblings that her mother had had from a previous marriage as well with no assistance of boosting the sperm. Both of her parents had the ability to reproduce, but, like, their parts just didn't work with each other.
Sure.
Hence the fertility cocktail.
Yeah.
So she also has other siblings that her parents had together, but she was able to pretty easily deduce that the situation with them had been the same, as her parents had never been secretive, that they had a hard time having children together, and that it had taken them a long time in order to conceive their shared children.
Mm-hmm.
Through the differences in appearances and behavior, as well as the time frames, she was able to figure out that her donor had stopped donating by the time that her siblings were conceived, meaning that what she had always considered to be her full siblings, they had different donors and therefore were biologically her half-siblings as well.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So upon discovering that she had all of these newfound, quote, diblings, aka donor siblings.
Oh, cute.
They had all kind of decided that they needed to find their donor in order to obtain their familial medical history.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden they realized, oh my God, I have no idea of heart disease.
That's such
or family.
A huge deal. Like, knowing your medical history is... Just important.
Yeah, so many hereditary things that can come up, right? So during the process, they obviously were, like, interacting with each other, and they discovered how many similarities they had, not only to their donors, or to their donor, sorry, but to each other, showing a huge portion that nature is a large part of what makes us us.
Yeah.
Shout out to episode 17, Nature versus Nurture. So B and her diblings discovered that their donor had actually been an OBGYN resident at the time and a very willing and paid participant in the process of helping couples to achieve their goal of parenthood. Nearly all of what Bea and her diblings know of this process of using the fertility cocktail was actually relayed to them by their donor.
Oh.
So due to the shame, secrecy, and privacy of the time frame in question, there isn't a documented or often discussed practice in the history of fertility treatments. In fact, upon pulling this topic, I knew that I wanted to talk about this method of, quote, boosting the sperm with donor sperm. But it was actually nearly impossible to find online accounts detailing what took place.
Yeah.
Other than like Reddit threads and things like that.
I had not heard of this.
Well, it was one of those things where it was like.
Hush.
Well, yeah. And especially when you have veterans coming back from war who mm-hmm. suddenly can't produce an offspring and they want children so badly. It's one of those things where like literally they went in for this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor was like, forget it ever happened. It's your kid. We boosted your sperm.
Yeah.
And we gave you children. The eye color of the donor is the same. The blood type's the same. You know wow. what I mean?
Yeah.
It's plausible deniability. And it was just like, okay, you get to have the thing that you want, which is a kid. Right. Go. And like, people are embarrassed to talk about infertility issues, especially men in that time frame, mm-hmm. right? Like, so it was really difficult. Like, I found a couple things, but it was very hard to find online resources. Yeah, because
I'm sure this was more common than people even realized.
It was very common. So, like, she was, like, in the episode, but also in one article that I was able to find mm-hmm. detailing the accounts of another person who was conceived via fertility cocktail. It was fairly, like, there were, like, thousands of children conceived every year this way. Oh,
okay.
So it was taking place, but it wasn't being discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the donors themselves, of course, knew, and usually their partners knew because, like, you had to have produced at least one healthy child to even be considered for boosting.
Right.
And obviously they were paid to do it, which was, like, supplemental income, especially for, like, students and things like that. But you didn't talk about it.
Wow.
You just didn't talk about it. So.
No, people used to just not talk about anything.
Anything. And that's why when all of this genetic testing and DNA testing came out, everyone's just finding all these siblings. They're like, oh, my mom put a child up for adoption before I was born. Or, mm-hmm. oh, my dad cheated on my mom or had 10 kids before they met. Like, everyone's finding all this stuff. You can't hide your DNA.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
So everything that I found for my resources was actually personal experience being relayed from donor-conceived adults.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. So while this is a fascinating period of history and the evolution of fertility care, I would be really remiss if I didn't clearly state that reproduction is absolutely the business of reproducing people in question. Whether it be a single woman, a queer couple, or a couple experiencing infertility for any variety of reasons, it is truly nobody's business how the job gets done unless it is explicitly and willingly shared with you, a trusted person.
Yep.
From fertility cocktails to sperm donor apps to IVF, every individual's fertility journey is uniquely their own.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, am happy to support autonomous and voluntary pregnancies with the freedom of making personal choices regarding those pregnancies, and our government would do well to follow suit.
Yeah, no shit.
And that is fertility cocktails and secret sperm donors.
Wow. Yeah, no, I didn't know about that at all, but I'm sure that was
common practice.
Very common, yeah.
That was fertility treatment then.
Goodness. Wow.
Isn't
and
that wild?
Stopped in the...
In the 70s.
In the 70s. Mm-hmm. Goodness.
Yep.
Well,
I can't wait to hear what you're doing.
Mine's not as wholesome. I am covering Dr. Klein.
Fuck yeah. I was hoping that's what you were doing.
My resources are time.com, cbsnews.com, newsweek.com, and wikipedia.org. And if the name Dr. Klein sounds at all familiar to any of our listeners, Netflix produced an original documentary about the case and crimes committed by this doctor mm-hmm. called Our Father, which was released in 2022.
Also, can we just like have a moment of silence for that name? Because it's honestly the biggest slay.
Dr. Klein.
No, Our Father.
Our Father. Yeah. No shit. That's
such a slay.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so Dr. Klein committed fertility fraud and used his own sperm to impregnate dozens of unsuspecting patients throughout the years of his practice.
Like the actual fucking audacity.
This man's a fucking pig.
Oh, disgusting.
Worse than dirt. Like, ew. I hate this guy. So I'll be as brief as I can with his background and credentials because quite frankly, I don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah.
But I think it is important to know these types of stories to protect ourselves.
100%.
So here goes nothing. This piece of shit was hurled into existence December 10th, 1938. So basically barely older than either geriatric presidential nominee we're working with.
Boo.
Boo. He received his undergraduate from Indiana University and his MD from Indiana University School of Medicine. After interning at the Indiana University Health Methodist Hospital, he served 2 years in the Air Force and 12 years as an inactive reserve.
Okay.
In 1979, he opened his own clinic in Indianapolis and specialized in reproductive endocrinology and infertility as a doctor of obstetrics and gynecology. He held his practice in the same location until retirement in 2009.
1979
to 2009.
Oh, I have to know when the last conceived child with his sperm was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm so upset.
That's a 40-year practice?
Mm-hmm.
He held his medical licenses until 2018 when he became a convicted felon. Klein is prohibited from reinstatement by the Medical Licensing Board of Indiana, but let's be honest, the damage is done and he's 86. So.
Yeah, his life's fucking over. He got away with it.
Mm-hmm. Between the years 1974 to 1987, Dr. Klein produced over 90 children to women, uterus bearers, and families without disclosing himself as the sperm donor to his patients.
Okay, like, I just have to say this sidebar. Like, I have a lot of queer clients.
Yeah.
So, like, this is something that is very often discussed behind, like, in my line of work simply because of who I work with. But also, like, clients who struggle with fertility. Do you know how much it fucking costs to buy sperm?
Oh, yeah.
So these people are purchasing sperm for thousands of dollars from the donors that they have handpicked based on looks, right? Like they want it to look like the other, or they want the child to look like the other partner, genetics, all of these things. And this motherfucker is just like, oh, you're going to spend thousands on your like sperm from your donor that you have handpicked together as a couple. And then I'm just actually going to slip mine in there.
Fuck this elitist pig over and over again. This man is such a fucking problem. I haven't watched that documentary yet, but I'm going to.
I haven't on purpose because literally just like hearing the story when it first
this is
made
so
me
upsetting.
Irate.
This is so upsetting. As of May 2022, the doctor has been confirmed as the biological father of 94 offspring.
No.
Dr. Klein used his own sperm repeatedly instead of patients, as you were mentioning, donated and specially selected sperm that they were expecting.
No.
This story began unfolding in 2014 when one of his adult offspring, her name is available, but out of respect, I'm not going to bring his quote children into this,
good,
filed a complaint with the Attorney General of Indiana, who initiated the investigation in 2015. This adult child took a saliva-based DNA test like we were talking about, although this one wasn't like the 23andMe or whatever. This was through a private genomics company that found that she was related to at least 8 other people in the database.
Okay.
Meanwhile, 2 others also were investigating their ancestry through DNA tests like Ancestry or 23andMe and learned that their mothers were both patients of Klein and that they were related to 70 of his relatives.
No.
Yes. Attorney General at the time, Tim Delaney, this bitch, actually declined to prosecute because there was, quote, no law forbidding Klein's conduct.
Actually, there is informed consent.
Not according to this.
Informed consent and also fuck Indiana.
Yeah, fuck Indiana. So this is obviously when the news got involved. So regardless of the piling evidence against him, at the time, Klein simply denied all of the allegations saying, quote, I can empathetically say that at no time did I ever use my own sample for insemination.
Oh, well, the...
the 94 children you have.
The paternity test would say that that is a lie, homie.
You are the father.
You are the father.
You are the father.
Oh, I wonder if he owes so much money in child support
Hope so. I fucking hope so. And like, this guy's just a fucking idiot. Can you imagine his face when 23andMe came out? He was probably just like
shitting his actual depends because he's ancient.
This man, like this actual piece of human garbage was considered an expert in his field.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking hubris, the ego to think I'm going to replace the sperm that they have chosen.
Oh, I said elitist on purpose.
Ugh.
I'll tell you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Klein called. I'll get into that in a minute. So at the time, like this is all happening, the news is involved. Klein called the child that brought the allegations forward and left a voicemail. The voicemail is, quote, this is Dr. Klein. You know, I was doing the right thing. I only donated my own sample 9 or 10 times. My wife and I, 57 years of marriage. We have had a great deal of problems over this. She considers this adultery. I donated my sample. Gonna lose my wife. Our marriage will be over. Can you help?
What the fuck?
That was the voicemail he left to the kid. Yeah.
So after she immediately after turned he, over to a lawyer.
After he publicly said, I can empathetically say that at no time did I ever use my... He leaves a fucking voicemail and is like, I certainly did. And now my marriage is over. Can you help
fucking
me?
Fucking boomer. She considers this adultery. What about literally like...
Assault.
Assault and breaking a code of medical ethics mm-hmm. against all of these patients. What?
This is a horrible fucking human.
Yeah.
So the attorney general then conducted an independent DNA test and confirmed almost 100% probability of paternity.
Jesus Christ.
Charges were filed against the doctor in state of Indiana versus Donald Klein. Klein pleaded guilty to 2 level 6 felony counts of obstruction of justice and received 1 year suspended sentence.
Ew.
Yeah. A court affidavit states that Klein said, quote, he used his own sperm whenever he didn't have a donor sample available. And then, end quote. And Klein also then went on to say, quote, felt that he was helping women because they really wanted a baby.
No.
Yeah. He was 77 at this time and told 6 adults who believed they were his children that he had donated his sperm about 50 times, starting in the 70s, telling his patients they were receiving sperm from medical or dental residents or other medical students that no single donor's sperm was used more than 3 times.
Oh, so he's just lying about literally everything.
The whole thing. An unidentified donor child stated, quote, it is very sickening to think he ran his practice up until the time he was about 70. Which, yeah.
Ew.
This guy is fucking sick.
Also, like, I'm dying to know if he would just go, like, jack off in the closet and then, like, inseminate them. Or if he would, like, have it, like, crypto frozen
this
and ready.
This makes me, like, this makes my skin crawl. Like, this is so filthy.
Ew.
This is so filthy.
Ew.
This is assault.
Yeah. Like, no, 140%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on November 30th, 2016, a mother and son filed a proposed complaint for damages and demand for jury trial with the state of Indiana Department of Insurance, citing negligence, constructive fraud, battery, breach of contract, breach of express warranty, and negligent hiring or retention as to defendant and reproductive endocrinology associates. They then filed a multi-count complaint in Marion Superior Court. Klein's motion to dismiss was denied, and in an interlocutory appeal, a panel of Indiana Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's decision, finding that, quote, insert child's name, sufficiently stated breach of contract and tort claims, which relief can be granted.
Okay.
As of May 2022, Klein has had to pay out more than $1.35 million.
That's it?
That's it.
For taken 94 for, taken
for all he's got. And this was to settle 3 civil lawsuits filed by donor children and families, and 3 more suits are actively pending right now.
That's it?
Yeah.
6 out of 94.
Yeah. We need to bankrupt this colonial piece of shit. But I will never get over this no time served bullshit. Like,
you're fucking kidding.
He's a free man.
How?
He's a free man. That's the country we live in.
I can't, like...
yeah. Yep.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, like, he is not in prison.
Nobody can see my face right now, but I've just been making one mm-hmm. for the entirety of the silence.
Oh, I'm getting... Yeah, here we go. So, back to the documentary. Our father does follow several of his, quote, children, learning of their half-siblings and their recall of realizing Klein was their father. None of them had any idea what they were unearthing in regards to their own stories or of the scandal for an entire practice. The documentary highlights the lack of legal recourse afforded to their illegal sperm donor, while also highlighting that, no surprise here, Dr. Klein was likely motivated by ideology from his extremist Christian sect called Quiverful.
Yeah, that checks out.
Which encourages followers to reproduce as prolifically as possible to meet their God's mandate to, quote, be fruitful and multiply.
It's fucking disgusting.
Disgusting. And the documentary fairly assumes that he is or was a white supremacist.
Oh, is.
Is.
That doesn't go away.
No. The quiverful ideology promotes a Christian position valuing large families as a blessing from their God, mm-hmm. aka they don't believe in birth control. They're just gonna, you know what I mean? Ugh. So let me break this down. This guy, Dr. Klein, has beliefs that he is supposed to go on and multiply. That's what he was taught, and that's what he did. He didn't care about the children he was creating or the uterus-bearing people he was assaulting. I'm going to make it so clear right now that there is no reality in which I understand how this man is not behind bars.
No. No. None. Does he, like, did he and his wife have children together?
I don't know. I really don't even care about him at all.
No, that's fair.
I don't care about him at
all. That's fair. Fuck him and his kids.
Yeah. These children and parents' experiences are dark. Families do deserve health and reproductive care, and the vetting shouldn't be in who is receiving this care, but rather who is performing it.
100%.
Family planning is a fundamental necessity of healthcare, and I will remind you all right now that your country is failing you.
Mm-hmm.
This is recent history and lasting history. Creating barriers and undue harm on families seeking IVF makes you a bad person. As bad as Dr. Klein.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he lived and operated in an unregulated system that this happened in the first place. IVF is a miracle of science that should be celebrated. So fuck this guy and fuck you non-believers. And please stop being delusional as far as rights go in this country before we are all actually living in The Handmaid's Tale.
I mean, we're like 90% there, but yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, so that's Dr. Klein.
Jesus Christ.
It's so upsetting.
What a psychopath.
So fucking upsetting.
My God.
94 children.
Like, I just... And
he was fucking doing procedures until 2009.
I'm dying to know when the last child that he sired was.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't find that available.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of secrecy surrounding it.
I'm sure there's a ton more in that documentary, too. I'm really eager to watch that. I think I'm going to watch it tomorrow. But I'm going to be, like, clenching. I'll probably break a tooth from grinding my teeth.
Oh, my God. Like, literally.
The audacity. I am always perplexed by the audacity.
Well, here you are, a straight white man.
Fucking Christian mission to assault families.
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck this guy.
Like, you literally are a straight white man mm-hmm. who has decided that you know what a woman and her either partner or just she on her own need
mm-hmm.
from a donor you're more than they do. You're stealing
people's choice.
Yeah. And then you're lying to them about the source of the donor.
Mm-hmm.
And then not to mention... When, like, similar to, like, our cloning episode or similar to, like, other concerns in any sort of, like, IVF and donor semen things that you can find online.
Yeah.
It's, like, they also regulate how many times a donor is used, especially in a specific area, because then you run the risk of those donors' offspring meeting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then we run the risk of, like... incest, right? And completely altering the way that genetics and DNA works. And it's like, audacity.
Genetic diversity is so fucking important.
So,
I mean, that's literally like we are an actively evolving species.
Yeah.
I don't know if people like forget that, but like.
Yes, they do because they don't believe in evolution.
Good point. But I mean, like, we are experiencing evolution as we live every single day. Like, that's a part. And that is why genetic diversity is so fucking important. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, fuck this loser. I mean, like, what the fuck?
Like, our great grandkids are literally going to have lizard skin because of, you know, global warming.
Yeah.
And that's an act of evolution.
Yep. Secret sperm donors.
Wow. Secret sperm donors.
Yeah. Yours was like, I mean, it's definitely, it's like, it's sad.
But it was consensual. Like wholesome. Yeah.
Consensual. Yeah. I mean, sad in the sense that like, obviously it was born out of necessity.
Yeah, and the secrecy of people going through that and feeling so isolated and not having those conversations.
And that I think it's just, it's nice that that was able to happen for families. Like that they were able, you know, that they...
Well, there were children that were so desperately wanted, you know, by both parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and then this fucking guy. So yeah, I liked yours a lot. Mine Thanks. Made me mad.
Thanks. Wow. Also, not to like bury the lead, but guys, next episode, it's so good. The topic's so Should good. Tell them. Yeah, okay.
It's stupid shit men have done.
We had so many options.
Endless opportunity.
Yeah, see you then. Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and if you feel so inclined, send to a friend. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Irregular Information. You can contact us for topic submissions and all things friendly at hello@irregularinformation.com. And until next time, stay goofy.